this is the segment of our program where we take your coronavirus calls with our healthcare experts. You can call with your questions at 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. What do you want to know about symptoms, contagion, self-protection, staying at home, care for loved ones and family members? Call with those questions. On the line to help us is Dr. Michael Stein, a primary care physician and professor and chair of health policy at the Boston University School of Public Health. He's also co-author of a new book called Pained, Uncomfortable Conversations About the Public's Health. Welcome to Radio Boston, Dr. Stein.
Thanks for having me.
We also hope to have joining us in a bit Dr. Davidson Hamer, who is a professor of infectious disease and medicine at the Boston University School of Medicine. These are very fluid times. He's not been able to join us yet, but Dr. Stein, we hope he'll be able to soon. And also, Dr. Stein, listeners, we're in an unusual situation today. Every day, Governor Charlie Baker holds a daily press update. Today, it is scheduled for 3:30. We're not sure that'll start on time, but when it starts, we will go to it live. So we're going to take as many calls as we can, get as many questions answered. We'll go at the last second, but I may not get to say a good goodbye to you, Dr. Stein. So let me thank you now again for being here to join us.
Very good. I understand.
And while I'm doing all this introduction, we now have Dr. Davidson Hamer. So welcome to you too, Dr. Hamer.
Thank you very much.
So, Dr. Stein, let me begin by asking you, what are you seeing and how are you today in the face of how this pandemic is changing?
Well, I'm seeing that we're still struggling with the same three issues that we've been dealing with for the past weeks, right? The first one being, how do we keep physically separate? How do we do that in a uniform and universal way? That's number one. Number two is, how do we test the population? And number three is, how do we keep our healthcare workers healthy so that they can go to work and care for people? Those seem to be the three major issues that are staying with us for now.
And Dr. Davidson Hamer, what message do you want to send to elected officials right now, especially in terms of local, state, federal response? What do you need and what message do you want to send?
I think that there's an increasing need for personal protective equipment and really helping major healthcare centers with making sure they're going to have ample supplies over the next few weeks. I mean, it looks like the sort of epidemic curve is really starting to take off in Boston. I've been in touch with colleagues in New York, and they are really being hit hard. We anticipate we're around 8 to 10 days behind New York City and other parts of New York. So it's going to be even harder. And already many hospitals are running short on some basic supplies to protect healthcare workers. And then the testing issue, which Dr. Stein mentioned, has been a problem. It's getting better. It's still not optimal. And I think that there's a need for more testing kits for all the hospitals and other facilities that are running COVID-19 tests.
Dr. Stein, we are in a healthcare-rich environment here in Greater Boston. We are all watching what's unfolding in New York and hearing Governor Andrew Cuomo's concern that capacity, equipment, supplies are not up to the spike that the state is facing. Are we on the same trajectory, and will we fall short at the same level that he's saying he's concerned New York will fall short? Or does this healthcare-rich environment give us the ability to handle that spike more effectively?
I think it's very hard to know what these curves look like, right? I mean, we have a variety of different curves. We have the curve of tests that are positive. We have a curve of actual new infections, which is a little bit different from the tests, which are really just a window on the past several weeks of infections. We have a curve of hospitalizations and a curve of ICU beds. So it really depends on what curve you're talking about. I think that I'd like to just reinforce the message again that, you know, time is lives here, and the time that we can do everything we can to protect ourselves is now. It was before. Earlier, we've been living in that time. But, you know, anything that we can do, I think, saves hospital beds, ICU beds, and that's the best we can do to bend at least the hospital curve for now.
Thanks for that, Dr. Stein. I'm going to turn to Dr. Hamer for a minute here. We were having a little trouble with your line there. I don't know if there's anything that we can do with that, but let me turn to Dr. Hamer for just a second. There has been a question as to whether Governor Charlie Baker's stay-at-home advisory is sufficient given the moves by some other states to really order a shelter in place with law enforcement consequences for violating that. Is a stay-at-home advisory sufficient to keep enough social distancing to help us flatten this curve in your, from your perspective or in your opinion?
I think that if people adhere to this recommendation, that, that it should be an adequate. And I think that at least in some parts of the city and in Cambridge where I live, you know, the streets are pretty empty. And so I think there's, you know, the only people going out are, you know, those that have dogs to walk and then people that may be, you know, going out to do, you know, necessary errands for food and medical supplies and so forth. So I think if people adhere to it and really try to minimize socializing, stay at home most of the time other than really urgent errands, that that should work. Can I actually just go back to your first question, though, and
yes,
add a couple additional comments?
So, absolutely.
There's a couple things. You know, one is in China and in Seoul, South Korea, and other parts of South Korea, they had to very rapidly scale up isolation hospitals and special places to keep people. And there's some work like that being planned for Boston. But I think, and actually now New York is going that same direction. So the state and really the city health authorities are, you know, I think they're working on this, but this is something that really is going to, may need to be done. If we really have a massive surge in cases, we want to get the milder cases ideally out of their homes so they don't infect you know, family members or roommates where possible. Obviously, it may not be feasible to break up, you know, families with young children and keep people isolated, but have sort of a place for milder patients to be until they recover from symptoms and try and reserve hospital beds for those that are sicker. There's going to be a need to expand hospital level beds, and there's a lot of work being done on that. But in an ideal world, it would really be great to be able to do contact tracing, to identify those who are infected, figure out who they've been in touch with, and then contact those people and ideally test them. This has been done in both, actually it was done in China as well as Singapore, and I think in South Korea as well, as an effective sort of addition to sort of the stay-at-home strategies that are being used.
I'm going to turn to calls now, 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. And just a reminder to everyone that we are now awaiting a live press conference from Massachusetts Governor Charlie Baker, and when that begins, I'm going to have to cut out fairly abruptly and bring us over to that press conference, so my apologies in advance for that. We've got Barbara on the line from Jamaica Plain. Barbara, please go ahead.
Thanks for taking my call. I understand the 2-week quarantine if people are infected or even if they're asymptomatic. I guess my question is, after those 2 weeks that pass, even though they may not be contagious anymore, has the virus run its course and are they free and clear?
Dr. Stein.
As best we know, the great majority, and I'll let Professor Hamer speak to this as well, as best we know that after 2 weeks, nearly everybody should be free and clear. That may not be 100%, but that's certainly the great, great, great majority of people.
So, Dr. Stein, what would make one think, okay, it's been 2 weeks, but perhaps I'm not free and clear? What would that look like, you know, so somebody could check themselves?
I don't think it would look like anything. That is, if you're asymptomatic during that entire time, you wouldn't know if you were free or clear without getting tested. So it's very difficult for the individual to know that. Certainly, if they develop symptoms late, they would enter another period where they would have to self-quarantine and perhaps get tested if they can get testing.
And Dr. Hamer, is there anything you want to add to that?
No, I think that's pretty accurate. I mean, I think that for somebody who's completely asymptomatic, we don't really have good evidence yet how long they're shedding virus. But for those who are sick with milder illness, you know, on average, most people clear virus by days 12 to 14 after onset of symptoms. So extrapolating from that, we can assume that the majority of people that have mild or you know, subclinical infections are should be cleared by 2 weeks.
Okay.
It's a different situation with sicker patients in the hospital because there's evidence they can shed virus both in their nasopharynx and actually sometimes in their feces for up to 3 weeks or more.
Dr. Hamer, I do want to double back to you because you talked about contact tracing. I think that's the term that you used.
Yes.
And the question that comes up with that is, in a Western democracy with the level of privacy laws that we have, is it possible, is it legal, is it viable to do the kinds of levels of contact tracing that you're talking about? Or is that kind of inconsistent with our practice and culture here in the United States?
That's a good question, and I can't. I mean, I think it is. We definitely would have limits in being able to do this as effectively as a city state like Singapore, for example, where they're actually using cell phones and other modalities to track all contacts. But that said, we actually do have contact tracing programs in place in Massachusetts that we use for people that have been exposed to somebody with tuberculosis. So I think there is some sort of legal framework to do this in a very different context.
Yes, indeed. There is. I mean, public health authorities have broad reach to do contact tracing in situations like this. So you should expect to be contact traced. The issue is when you have community-wide spread, we don't have the resources or person power to go out and do all the tracing that really needs to be done, either by phone or in person. So I remember Wuhan, which really shut things down, was full population-wide mandatory testing plus contact tracing plus aggressive quarantining. So it really takes all three of those elements, and here we're in trouble because we're behind in the numbers at this point, and we just don't have the personnel to go out and do this. This would be a great group of people to train volunteers, because people can do this at this point if there were enough of the contact tracers.